Last night, I was looking at our budget, and, you know, I've been unemployed for about 15 months. First time it was 9 months. This happened, I think it was like 10 years ago or so, and similar stuff, just changing careers and wanting to do something different and wanting to try the entrepreneurial world, which doesn't always work for me or many of us. And then back then, I ended up at a place that was actually a good place. And I was there for 2 years, then at another place for about five, almost 6 years. And then here I am again, after another kind of change in career slash, I don't know, maybe even that, but it's more of a just a change in, maybe just in churches, really, is what it comes down to. I've wanted to be a consultant, but I'm not sure if that's going to work out. I haven't seen it work. And for these last 12 months, I've been trying all kinds of things, music production, life coaching, media production, consulting, and nothing has given me a steady income, which of course drains our savings, and now we're running out. And so we have to figure something out. And so because of patterns in my life, last night, as I said, we went through our budget, and I slept well, actually. So, but my mind, of course, as a man, and something that worries me, of course, it's only my wife working, and that's just not good. I then began to think, okay, what the heck am I going to do? And then I began to think of all my limitations and limiting beliefs, and it can get pretty bad, pretty fast. But I've been changing, and I've been using a lot of the tools that I've learned from years of therapy, counseling, and most of all just the scriptures about being free. The truth will set you free. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. To believe that God is my provider and He is my safety. So basically what I teach to myself and to I also have a Wednesday night class called Freedom in Christ, is these three, this circle, I guess, or these three steps, the cycle of belief versus the cycle of fear. The cycle of fear for me and for many is a trigger. In this case, for me, it's usually financial stuff or health stuff, typical stuff. And then for many reasons, it triggers me into believing that I am unsafe. And we're talking about utterly unsafe, not a little bit unsafe, but completely. Like, I'm going to be homeless, I'm going to be on the streets. And the irony of that is that the reason why that's all anxiety and all just a lie is because even when I had a bunch of money, let's say a couple of years ago, I still used to live in the same fear triggered by whatever it was back then. And so it's not real. Yes, of course, I do need a job. Yes, our savings. I mean, so yeah, they're practical things, but it's the overreaction, right? And so then that triggers a unhealthy response, normally overdoing and trying to do too much, or just simply giving in to my feelings and fear and just being inactive or feeling constantly depressed and anxious, which then goes back to number one. It triggers more of the same stuff over and over again and so on and so on. And so the new synapses, the new freedom in Christ, which I'm practicing right now, and I've been practicing now for a year, is, okay, I can't necessarily not get triggered because biology and nurture nature and all that. So that is hard to stop, right? So last night, yeah, seeing our budget and, oh my goodness, we're running out of cash, we're blah, blah, blah. That was a trigger. And that connects it to all these abandonment things and fears that I grew up with of X, Y, and Z. Okay, so I get that. Now, the second and third responses are where the change can occur, needs to occur, must occur, and is occurring in my life. And it's possible. I'm living proof. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but so the second response, instead of being triggered and then thinking that I'm not safe, instead I remind myself of Psalm 91. And so I want to read that actually here for us, for me, for you, in case you're similar, and maybe this psalm is going to help you to live in the truth, to not, to basically stop the machine, stop the process, stop the lies. So as I said, the reason why this psalm is so powerful is because my trigger is a lack of safety. And that goes back to my childhood, growing up without my parents, my grandma that would be sick, and fears of being deported. So all of these abandonment issues, or all of these fears that I don't have enough, I always joke with my wife, Rochelle, I don't have enough Cheerio boxes in the cupboards. And so not only do I need one, but I need 10 Cheerio boxes, just in case I run out of the second, third, and fourth. And so my safety often, this is very Enneagram 6, I'm a 3, but I easily move to the unhealthy part of 6. My fear is that I'm running out. And so guess what? Last night, what does my brain tell me? You're running out. And now we really are running out, but we have enough, I would say, for another year. But see, that's my point. My brain tells me, uh-oh, in a year, you're going to be homeless, as if in the next 6 months, 6 days, 6 weeks, six whatever, God can provide. Of course he can, and he will. I am capable. I can get a job, whatever it is, right? And we're talking just needing a couple thousand bucks a month. I mean, we're not talking about needing millions. So all of that, but my brain, because of all these unhealthy patterns and lies, ungodly truths and emotional trauma and blah, 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 excuse me, it wants to keep me down. And because of safety being the issue, then what I did a while back is look up verses and names of God that speak of him being my safety. And so Psalm 91 is the one. He who dwells in the shelter. See, already, I don't dwell in the shelter of my own strength or of me figuring it out. Yes, I need to figure it out. And yes, I have to take the next step and the next step, like I have been. But I live not in the shelter of my own ability. I don't live in the shelter of fear and worry and anxiety. I live in the shelter. I dwell. That's a beautiful word, right? To actually encamp, to actually live, to be at home in the shelter of the Most High. Beautiful word picture that he is the shelter, that he provides shelter. That if my mind and my psychology and my fear tells me that it's raining and there's just so much danger out there, it's raining cats and dogs and lightning's going to strike me on the head and all this stuff, that I can declare that I dwell in the shelter, in the safety of the Most High. And he who does that, it says here, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Same terminology, will abide, same thing as dwelling, will live, will be safe, will be kept safe, will be kept secure in the shadow. Beautiful picture there of a eagle or of a temple or of a mountain that casts a shadow. And this person who's afraid, who is running around with concerns and overwhelmed, that person, he or she, can come under the shadow of the Almighty. And then he continues here, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, I want to look up this word for I think it's the word shadow. It's in the Hebrew, it's God sel. Let me just look it up really quick here in the shadow. Let's see, double click on this, see if it works. It's not working. What do I have to do here? Shelter. Okay, there it goes. Yeah, so the Almighty Shade, that's the Almighty, but that's not the one. I wanted the shelter. Let's see here. Yeah, Katar, Most High, my refuge. Maybe it's refuge. The word is refuge. Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, I think that's it, right? Makesh, shelter. Refuge, yes, he's my refuge, right? Shelter, yes, Makesh is the word, Makeh in Hebrew. So there's another one that I also looked up a while back. I forget which one it is, but that's the name of God. He is my Makesh, he is my shelter, he is my strength, he is my, actually, even more than strength, my shelter. Because I don't feel weak during these times, and I just feel unsafe. And so then my brain just goes into this bad place. But instead, I keep declaring, no, God is my fortress. He's my refuge. I am safe in him. In him I trust. I will abide under his shadow. I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress. Let me see what fortress is. Metzad, yes, another great word. He's my castle, yes, as I said. He is a tower, yes. Metzad, yeah, he's my defense, my castle, my fortress, in whom I trust. And that's the choice right there. I trust in his unfailing love, in that he is my fortress. And so if the picture that comes to my mind is I'm homeless, I'm on the streets, I am without any hope, I'm without Cheerios, I'm without food, my kids are out there on the streets and I have to sell my house and move in with my, quote, in-laws. Okay, no, none of that is true. God is my fortress. I am safe in him. None of that's going to happen because, first, God takes care of us. And second, because all that is just a bunch of lies, that I am unsafe, that I am alone in this world, that I'm without help and no one will help me. No, God is my strength. He is my helper. He will deliver me. I can feel safe in him. Even though when I was a young boy, I used to fear being deported and fear that my grandma would not be around. None of those things happened. I was never deported, and my grandma lived a full life till almost 80 years old. None of that happened because God protected me. I never was sent back. In fact, my life has been I've lived from glory to glory. But my chemistry, my trauma, my chemical stuff in my brain because of X, Y, and Z tells me fear, 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 danger, danger, danger. No, that's not true. And then it says here, he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, the deadly pestilence. It's not that there aren't any of these deadly things. It's not that there aren't concerns. It's not that I don't need a job. It's not that money is eternal or endless. But what does it say? He will deliver me from those pestilences. I mean, how afraid was I of this stupid COVID thing? I mean, my goodness, I threw up the first week, I remember, when I heard about this thing. I had to drive around the block like for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes just to calm myself down. I was in such panic over something that I think I had maybe once or twice. And I didn't even feel it. Yes, the vaccine, of course, helped. But none of those things that I was so worried about happened. And I wish I had hung on to God. I mean, during the pandemic, I was in bed for, I would say, almost the full 2 years, just living in full-on panic. Just in pure fear and panic over what the news were telling me. I know I'm not the only one, but my goodness, for a man of God, a man who's supposed to be strong and who is supposed to be a man of strength in Christ, I wasn't. I was afraid of this thing that never touched me. Or if it did, it was this June, or this is October. Yeah, I think I got it like in April or May. And yeah, we've been vaccinated, blah, blah, blah. But what if we hadn't? I think all five of us. I don't know, maybe just four of us. I don't know. But we all were fine. Vaccinated, yes, blah, blah. But the point is, I didn't need to fear. There are two sides to every truth. Yes, there are mosquito bites. I just got bit by a mosquito. There are pestilences. Yes, there are pandemics. Yes, there's unemployment. Yes, there is savings that run out. Okay, these are things that happen. But the fear, the panic that I tend to give into, that's what's wrong. That's what's anti-gospel, anti-Christ. That is what's not a way that a man of God, a woman of God needs to live. You have a choice to make. I have a choice to make right now to either live in the panic. I'm telling you, every few minutes right now, especially because I just went through this last night, I feel it in my body. My chemistry wants to just give in to this fear, but I won't let it in Jesus' name. Gossip bell right there. Because he will deliver me. Like he has a million times. I was unemployed, as I said last time, for a year, and God provided a wonderful church. And even right now, he's providing a little bit here and there, just little things, little clients and little projects that I have. I mean, it's nothing, but they're just promises. And there's some church out there or some school or something out there that will be that place, how God will provide. And we won't run out of cash. It'll be fine. Because he will deliver me and you from the snare of the fowler, the deadly pestilence. He will cover you, verse 4, with his pinions. I think that's his wings, I believe. And under his wings, let's see, what's pinions? Yes, feather, wing. Under his feathers, under his wings, and under his wings you will find refuge. That's the word, I think, refuge, right? Yeah, kasa. Yeah, I think I already said that, right? That's really the word that that hits me the most. He's my refuge. Because when you grow up like I did, and many of us, without my parents, far from home, my grandma wasn't necessarily a huggy type. I remember I used to go hug her on my own when I was like 9, 10 years old. She was on the couch and maybe asleep, and I would just go and hug her because I needed, as a young boy, to be held, to be hugged. I was afraid, and she maybe wasn't that way. But guess who? I'm not saying that God hugs me per se. I mean, my wife hugs me, my kids. I mean, it's life is better now. And I thank God for my grandma. I thank God for my mom. I talked to her on the phone last night twice because of kind of what I was feeling. She is that eagle or that shield. She is my refuge, my mom. But God, most of all, is my refuge. It says here that I will find refuge under his wings. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. See, I don't necessarily need a lot of God is faithful or he's my shield or he's my strength even. I don't feel weak. I'm a very strong man. I have a lot of skills, blah, blah, blah. My weakness, the way the devil gets to me, is feeling unsafe, that I am without refuge. That the ground underneath me is falling, that the sky is falling. Not even the sky, but the ground underneath me. But that's not true. Or even if there are things that are, quote, shaky, I can go back to these verses. And now, so that's the second step, right? So now what, right? So now you have these verses, so what? Well, this gives me the perspective to go and do the right thing, take the next step. Versus with a pandemic, for example, driving around my house trying to calm down or throwing up out of just pure fear and anxiety and being and giving into that and then becoming immobilized and not helping people, not doing the things I have to do. That's what fear does. It paralyzes you. That's what anxiety does. It destroys your mind, your mental health, your fitness goals, whatever things. And so these are the skills that I need to learn in order to be an effective man, the next job, and be an effective next thing. Because there will be other fears in the next year, don't you think? In the next 2 years, 5 years. I mean, of course, right? There'll be the next pandemic, the next concern, the next safety net that feels like it's gone. Our kids are getting older. What about when they leave? Or my wife's dad is not well. What if I can't be living under this lack of safety? And those things don't necessarily hit me as much as I said, personal safety, mostly financial. I'm a very healthy individual, so I don't really have a lot of worries about health. I mean, sometimes, sure, when I forget a word or two, I'm like, oh, Alzheimer's. But that, again, is my fear, my pandemic. That's my anxiety. But my number one thing is money. Really anything that touches that fear of safety, going back to my childhood stuff, or my assumed lack of safety. Someone could look at my financial circumstances right now and think, man, I wish I had your problems. I mean, probably 8 out of 10 people. I wish I had your, quote, lack of safety. But yet for me, because of my trauma, I think, no, this is horrible. I have to have 12 Cheerio boxes, back to my Cheerio boxes. I really had Cheerio boxes and I wanted to have more. I only have 3 left and 2 and 1. Well, you could go buy some more. You know, the store has like thousands of them, right? But how am I going to do that? I only see two left, three. I need to have 12. You know that they're going to go bad, right? It's irrational. But that's what fear and anxiety does. It keeps you in this irrational space. So it says here that you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. That's another great passage for me, or verse. 1,000 things can go wrong. 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. There could be things out there that are happening, but they won't happen to me. And that's, again, you have to be very discerning. That's not even my concern. I don't think, oh, well, look at that person. He lost his job. Look at that person. Oh, man, she's homeless. No, I don't often look at that. I just think of my own panic, as if that wasn't bad enough. Verse 8, you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Back to that beautiful word, dwelling place, right? What is it? That's still, yeah, Makesh. Yes, shelter, hope, refuge, shelter, trust. I remember during the pandemic, speaking of fear and panic, I don't know what it was about accidents, car accidents. I lived in this constant fear that my kids, maybe they were driving more, I guess probably what it was. But back to like these just out of control fears, I would fear that they would get into a car accident, God forbid. And I remember this one time, I was in such panic that I literally started driving around the city looking, for, not looking, but almost like expecting, I didn't even want to even say these things, expecting to find something, to see some problem. So I was driving down the street. I don't know if I was actually driving around town looking for it. Maybe I was just going to the store and I saw this car that had tipped over. And it was a car that looked nothing like our kids' cars. It was black and we only have white cars. Rochelle has a black car, but she wasn't around. She was at work. But I literally was in panic, full panic mode, just looking at that car accident, believing, this is horrible to say, thinking, maybe it's a better word, that it was one of my kids, one of our children. Just horrible stuff. This is what panic does. This is how I tend to live life. And as I said, because of a lot of panic growing up, blah, blah, blah. And I've been on medication and I have been on and off of it and but I would say that, yeah, medication helps to kind of take the edge off, as they say. I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I don't sleep around, any of that stuff. I don't do porn or, I don't know, whatever other habits or coping mechanisms are out there by the grace of God. But what do? I give into it. And it affects my wife, it affects me, it affects everything. So those are not good reactions, right? I wonder what maybe you've been through that's similar when you just give in to the full-on panic and you do give in to that maybe addiction. It says here, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you. Again, that's not something I necessarily long for or need for angels to protect me, because it's a different thing. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. See, that's powerful. Because of the safety, and this is that third element I was mentioning, the third step. Because I feel safe, I will trample over the serpent and the lion. I mean, you can't just simply tread around some lion, right? Even if it's a young lion. I mean, come on, that young lion can still eat me and, I don't know, or dad can come and destroy me, right? I'm not going to trample over no serpent. But it says here, when you live in the safety of the Most High, when you live with a confidence that God is my shelter, that he is my Makesh, then I can tread over the lion and the adder. I don't know what an adder is. Is that like a, what's an adder? From an unused root meaning to twist. Twist. Okay. Contortion. Okay. I don't know. I thought that was an animal or something. The lion and the adder. It must be an animal. It says, I will tread over these things. The young lion and the serpent, you will trample underfoot. Meaning, you will put all of my enemies, I will put all my enemies under my feet. In this case, I will get that freaking job. Like I did in whenever that was, 10 years ago. I went, I remember, and interviewed at this one church, and they loved me. Then I remember after that, another place called me, and they're like, oh, man, you know, can you come help us for 4 months? And it was beautiful. Maybe I should have stayed there. And then after that, I went and preached this one sermon at this other church that I was checking out, and they're like, you're hired. You're our guy. And I was there for 5 years. Now, that was a terrible 5 years, I must say, but God used it. My point is that I was able to overcome the serpent and the lion and the adder. I trampled over these fears, over these things that were around me. I kicked butt, in other words. Goes about right there. And so when you and I live under the shadow of the Almighty and we stand on the underneath the shelter of God and His wings, then we go out there and kick butt. We still got to take the next step, right, and face life and unemployment or whatever things you're dealing with. We have to face the facts. This is not like God is just going to take you to heaven and drop $1 million in your bank account. You still have to go do the work, but you do it with confidence, with strength, with belief. And so I believe and declare that I'm going to have an amazing job in the next few months, that God is doing something amazing. I'm not sure if this is the job that is for me, but yesterday and a couple of weeks ago, I saw this ad at Biola, where I went to school. I went to Talbot Seminary. And my friend, actually, he's a family member, like an in-law of our family. He's the director over this area at Biola. And he posted this thing, and so I have an in, right? So, and it's sort of related to what I do. It's more technology stuff, not so much pastoral. But what the heck, right? My point is, see, look how that could happen. Look how the opportunities are out there to trample over lions and serpents and adders, whatever an adder is. Even if that isn't the right place, there will be another place and another place. And at some point, at just the right time, God will provide the perfect situation. I was close. Now, I didn't even want this one, but I was top three finalists of this technology media specialist, kind of like a tutor, basically, I think, or an aide. And I don't know if it's an aide, but someone that would help students that were learning how to code. And really, I didn't have the experience in necessarily these things of coding, but I my undergrad is in computer science. Top three finalists at Santa Monica College. I didn't get it. And I was really worried about the drive. I mean, it's like 2 hours each way from our house. So, and it was going to be a nice paying job, $60,000 or something like that. But I thought, wow, Lord. And the interviews were awesome. They really liked me, a lot of good vibes. And I actually thought I was going to get it. But then I didn't. But I was in some ways glad only because of the drive. And most of all, it was affirming. I'm like, wow. Because I think, man, I'm an old man here. I'm 53 and blah, blah, blah. And half the world could say, come on, man, you're so young. But I mean, these are the things, right? That the trauma, and some of it is true. I'm not 23, but okay. I will trample over the lion, the young lion and the serpent, the adder, because of that strength. But if I give in to the fear, then I won't be trampling over anything. Instead, they're going to trample all over me and be in my bed. I'm going to have a bunch of snakes in my bed, right? A young lion in my car. So last night, as a result of me not living in fear of money and of court running out, instead of me not wanting to give last night to the church and do an offering, which I normally do, I took up my phone and I gave my offering, saying, I'm not going to give into this. I'm not going to live in fear of $10, $25, $50 to my church that I love. I'm going to continue to live in confidence, in believing that God is my, what was that word again in Hebrew? That He is my refuge. Let's see here. Not that one. Where is it? Shelter? Was it shelter? Even though I like refuge, actually. Refuge says here, that's a lot of words here. I don't think that's it. Yeah. Let me see here. Refuge. I guess that is it. Let's see. I want to see another one here. That fear. Refuge, right? Refuge. Yes, refuge. Yeah, I guess it's still my fortress. So when I had here. I don't know why. I mean, yeah, that's it. Metsad, right? Yeah, Metsad. That's the one. Okay, so I got to remember that. Metsad. I don't know why refuge isn't coming up. There it is. See, I don't know why this happens. I'm telling you, this program is weird. Yeah, Makesh, right? That's the one I keep thinking. Makesh, actually. It's Makesh. Makesh. Yeah, it's not Makesh. What kind of is? Makseh. My shelter, my fortress. Makseh. That's the word for me this week, this month, this season is Makesh or Makseh, one of those. He is my refuge, my shelter. My wife is also worried, about money. Yeah, of course. You know, she's the one that right now is carrying the load. But her father is dealing with some health issues. And also she's trying to also manage even her own trauma, you could say, of the last year of her mom passing away and her dad now not being well and me being unemployed and. She also went through a bunch of stuff at her job last year when her school closed and she interviewed and they didn't give her the job. A lot of shame that's there that she's processing. So, you know, we're both going through a major crisis here. But Makesh, right? Or Makseh, whatever that is. Makseh, yeah. God is our shelter. And I lead my wife. I have to lead her, right? She needs me. This morning I woke up. I could have just been giving in to fear and suck my thumb and be alone, knowing my feelings and the sky's falling or go crazy doing too many things. Instead, we're going to go see Dad in Oregon this weekend. We're going to believe that God has a great plan for his life and for mine and us. And we believe in God, our Makseh, our shelter. And with that confidence, we're going to go and step over some snakes, step over some young lions, and get some wins here. See him, see Dad through his issue, his illness. See my mom come and visit us, hopefully in January, and go get a job for myself. There's plenty of time, and God is able. God is able. So that's my process. I'm not saying it's perfect. Even just right now, it kind of hit me, and I kind of like just suddenly felt anxious, but I just keep saying no. My God and my Savior, in whom I trust, Makesh, Makseh. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. Makseh, he will not let me fall. He will not let you fall. So I stand today here on the eve of feeling all this, oh no, our budget and our savings and blah, 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 believing and declaring that I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of the Most High, Makseh. He is my shelter. He is my dwelling place. He is my shield. He's the one that I come under his wings. I find refuge under the shadow of his wings. You know, ironically, to close, I don't know if my dad dealt with similar stuff, but this is one of his favorite psalms, and I actually have a recording of him. Alzaré mis ojos a los montes. ¿De dónde vendrá mi socorro? Actually, I think that's a different psalm. That's I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? Psalm 62, I believe. But it's similar to this one, Psalm 91. No dará tu pie resbaladero. Same idea. I have the same feelings when I hear that, when I hear him sing that song, that hymn, that this psalm evokes in me, those feelings of my father, of his example, trusting God in the middle of stuff he went through. He also was unemployed. He got sick and he died early, 57 years old, young man. And my mom learned, she always would tell me, how to hang on to God without my father. And my mom now, man, she's the most joyous person I've ever met. And so all that is running through my veins and yours, we have examples that we have to hang on to, songs that we have to sing, hymns and songs and worship tunes and verses and people that inspire you. Last night, I was so inspired hearing the testimonies. The word of God inspires me, that hymn that my dad would sing, just thinking of his voice. And it's not easy. I'm sure today or tomorrow, I'll go back to wanting to give in to panic and fear and anxiety, but I won't judge myself if I do. I'll understand. I'll say, okay, just let it run through me. Let the river run through it. Let's let it pass. But to tell myself the truth, it's not real. It's not true. It makes sense why you feel that way. That shouldn't have happened, all that I went through, but that's not true. Let's live in confidence and let's go trample on some snakes in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you next time. Adios.